Good morning, my fellow Michiganders. Good morning, my fellow Americans. We are here right now on the Grassroots Army podcast. I'm, of course, your host, Garrett Soldano, and I have with me for our third live here in 3 weeks. We're really excited on our Getting Mentally Strong Grassroots Army Strong Month, Joe White from Get Life Coaching. And Joe, man, I've been getting a lot of comments and feedback, especially with what you talked last week about getting in alignment.
Yes.
Okay, so they kind of like bought into this alignment thing, making sure that you're aligned with your beliefs and values, with your goal setting. So can you really go into that? Because a lot of people were really commenting and they want to know exactly what the heck that is and how you do get in alignment.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there's two steps to this, right? The first step is, why is alignment important? Right? Because we all use a lot of the same terms, our vision, our goals, our values, our standards. These are all of our mechanical pieces. And the challenge comes in is when we want something, but then we want something more than what we want, or we want X, we want success, but we want to avoid rejection. We want love, but we don't want to get hurt. We want to make an impact, but we don't want that fear of being judged, okay? So naturally, there's an aerodynamic process. See, we can climb up to the top of a mountain, but the question is, how efficient are we? Better word, aerodynamic. That's really what we're looking for. How do we produce greater results and less effort? And the way we do that is understanding the alignment. So we're working together. My biggest analogy, if you and I are in a three-legged race and you know, you're competitive, I'm competitive, but we got to be on the same page, right? Are we taking big steps, small steps? Are we going fast or are we going slow? And no matter how strong or intelligent we are, that goes out the window if we don't work together. So it's like the car in alignment. You know, with that alignment, which is barely misaligned, you can drive that car straight, right? But the problem is, as soon as you let go of that wheel, Garrett, boom, the car veers off. So you go into the dealership, go, I need new tires, right? They're saying it's not the tires, it's the alignment. That's what we do. We try to find that new thing, that fangle, that whatever it is, something to like, oh, this is it. It's not. We don't need new tires. We need the alignment before the tires.
Okay, that makes sense. So would you say that is one of the reasons why, you know, I've had this happen in my personal life in the past, like you finally reach that goal, right? You finally get there and you should be excited, but it's almost like you're let down. You start running that kind of replay in your mind, like now what?
Right.
Would that be an example of being out of alignment?
Yeah, yeah. And it comes in the way that very often we know what we want, right? But along with it are other things. I mean, we're not single frame individuals. We're complex. So in any given situation, I don't give it any goal you want. Give me one goal you want, and I guarantee we can find a downside, something that's going to cause you to put your foot on the gas. But what about when we put the foot on the brake? People call that sabotage, right? When we're tapping the brake, when everything's going good, then all of a sudden we start missing meetings or not connecting with our partners or not being honest with ourselves.
Self-sabotage.
Yes.
Right? That's huge. And a lot of people don't even know that's subconscious. You know, yeah. They don't even have to consciously know that they're self-sabotaging themselves, but they'll be like, why is this happening to me? Well, subconsciously, you're self-sabotaging yourself by missing that meeting, not following through, sleeping in. Maybe if you're losing weight, you're eating that donut, right? These are the self-sabotaging things that people do. So how do people, number one, identify if they have one of these self-destructive subconscious beliefs, and how do they overcome it?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing you have to understand is, like I said, very often we have mixed things attached to the very thing we want. We call them mixed associations. We all have that. It's if I get this, I'll get tons of pleasure. But backdoor, I might get tons of pain. Oh, people will love me, but then people will judge me, right? I'll be successful, but people think, you know, like, I've gone and now I'm a different person because I'm successful now. I'm going to lose love, lose significance, right? So sabotage, you have to understand in the mechanics of how we work, doesn't really exist. Because everything that we do, Garrett, every thought, action, behavior has a positive intention regardless of the impact that it has on our lives. So my drug addiction, right? I wasn't doing drugs to kill myself, even though I was killing myself. I was doing it to alleviate pain, to avoid pain and hurt in my life. Yeah, I was headed towards a much greater pain, but we don't sabotage in the real world. We just have unhealthy ways to get our needs met. Or the closer we get to what we want, it also triggers the pain too, right? And human nature, we will do more to avoid pain than we will for pleasure. Then the subconscious mind starts kicking in gear. Once that happens, yeah, then we say, oh, what's going on? I just blew this meeting. I was doing so well. I just had this donut. Da, 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 da. Oh, must be sabotage. No, no, no. We're getting exactly what we are wired for. The question is, are we wired for what we really, really want, or are we wired for what we really need? What we really need.
Okay, so how do you get folks to, number one, be aware of that, and then get themselves to align with their values and their aspirations? That's right. I think that's the golden ticket.
Yeah. Well, I think the first step is you got to understand what those are, right? You got to understand what your values are, what your rules are, what your vision is. Where are these inner workings? No one taught it. I remember the first time I started doing work like this, I'm like, you can't change your values. No one told us that, right? But we can change our values. It's that mechanical process, right? But I think the first key is to really be clear on what you want, why you want it, and what are the consequences that we have to endure, that we have to sacrifice, that we're going to have to face climbing up that mountain. You know, it's like, you know, when we see someone who becomes an overnight success, we don't realize it took that person 10, 15, 20 years to become an overnight success. So I think the best way to get that alignment is to begin to understand in clarity of really what you want and what you have attached to it. Where is your pleasure driving you, and where is your pain hitting that gas, I mean, the brake pedal, and you're slowing yourself down?
Yeah, you think with the kids and stuff, we covered this a couple of weeks ago with the kids, with the mentality, with social media, with that kind of instant gratification, with scrolling through and everything else like that. They're just wired, you know, wrongly, in my humble opinion, with what it takes to become successful. I mean, it's a grind. And that's what I always tell folks in my clinic when I have patients that come in that are younger, they're in their 20s and 30s. I'm like, hey, 20s, you're grinding. 30s, yeah, you're grinding even more. And finally, when you get into your 40s, you start saying, hey, you start to see the things start to come into your life. You start seeing the income and the abundance come in. But people understand the amount of work and the effort and the sacrifice and the commitment that you had to do for 2 decades,
yes,
to even get here. And that's why I kind of like what Tony Robbins says, like, you overestimate what you can do in a year, but you underestimate what you can do in a decade, because people quit. They're like, well, right, it's not working. It's 5 years and I didn't reach my goal and I'm not at my dream job and I'm not getting the income. This stuff doesn't work. And then they start going back to the old behaviors and attitudes, right?
Right.
And that's where they just self-destruct. So let's move on to, like, happiness, because everybody has their different ideas of what happiness is and what truly, you know, gives people happiness and fulfillment. So what are some of the strategies that you try to cultivate with folks, you know, with having that kind of positive mindset and increasing their overall happiness? Because, you know, you can condition yourself for happiness. People don't understand that. I mean, it takes work. I mean, you have a choice every single day. You get up, you can be happy, or you can be pissed off and upset. I mean, it's literally a choice, and that's conditioning aspect of getting in your thoughts consistently throughout the day to wire your brain for happiness. So what are some of the strategies that you like to do to cultivate that, Joe?
I think there's, like, for happiness, you're right, it's a choice. People think, I'll be happy when, right? Like, I'll be happy when I'm successful. I'll be happy when I'm married. I'll be happy when I lose that weight. You know this, and I know this. If you're not happy with where you are now, you'll never be happy. You'll be one of these people. You'll get $1 million. You get this. You'll get the house, and you'll love it for a month. Then your brain goes, is this all there is? Because it's not fulfilled. So we got to understand happiness is a choice, right? We choose our own happiness. Our lives are rules. No one has that power for us to choose our happiness unless it involves hurting other people, right? Yeah. But we should have a clear lane for our happiness, right? So what's connected to that is fulfillment, right? Mechanically, where does fulfillment fit in? Fulfillment comes from two needs getting met in order. We have to grow and contribute. Now, they're in order because if we're hanging out, I say, oh, man, Garrett, can I borrow $5? And you go, I have a credit card. I can go to the ATM. I go, no, I need cash right now. If you don't have it, you can't give it. So you can't give what you don't have. So we have to grow as human beings and then share what we have, that bounty with others. And that's called contribution. When I work with my clients, it's real easy to see where the train goes off the tracks is when growth and contribution starts to drop. Now, maybe we need to change how we do something. Maybe we have to change our approach, change our mindset, need a new vehicle, right? But one way or the other, we have to change something because here's the truth about vehicles. Every vehicle is not meant to last your entire life because sometimes the fulfillment drops, not because we're doing anything wrong, because it's time to get off the bus, man. It's, you know, that bus is over. We've got to transfer to the next bus to get where we want to go. So fulfillment is a dynamic principle, is filled with growth and contribution. But just remember, what grows and contributes for you today may not work in 5 years, 3 years. And that's not because you've done anything wrong, because we're always evolving. We always need to grow. Not just the same way we did last year. We got to find new ways to grow. And if we don't do it, God, life will seemingly find a way to gently or knock us upside our head to remind us we got to make some changes in our lives.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Okay, so let's look at kind of like the millennial generation right now, with kind of what they've been hit with this beautiful thing that we call life, you know, with the tremendous amount of school debt. We have inflation, we have interest rates. It's a hot mess right now. Our country is, we can all agree with that. It's just very, very uncertain of what's going to happen with everything, but that's just life in itself. It's always going to have some level of uncertainty. Control is an illusion, as we say. But what advice would you have for those young people right now that are watching this and say, yeah, this guy's talking a big game. I kind of resonate, but hey, man, I am going to be in school debt until I'm 65. I'm only making 50, 75 grand a year. You know, yeah. I'm just in this never ending, you know, rat race on the hamster wheel, you know, never being able to get off. What do you say to these kids, right? I call them kids because they're younger than I am.
I am. Yeah, yes. Stop being a victim. There's no empowerment in being a victim. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we're a victim because of ourselves or someone done something to us. It doesn't matter. I really don't care. Okay. There is zero, Garrett, zero empowerment in being a victim. Okay. Doesn't matter. If you think something is happening to you, you are in a victim geographical position, which means you're disempowered. You got to get back to empowered, right? So is life fair? No. Are things the way we want at times? No. But if you use that as the reason why you're not happy, if you use that as the reason why you're not fulfilled, if you don't have what you want, then you're just making excuses. Because the end of the day, I don't care what's going on with this country or any other country, we always have obstacles. We always have challenges. It always comes down to a single person choice, right? What am I going to do today to better my life for me and for the people that I love? That's our greatest source of inspiration and connection to our own, you know, to anything above us or around us.
I love what you just said about being a victim. Quit being a victim.
Yeah.
Right. Because you always look at those two scenarios, you know, like with sexual assault or somebody who's been raped, same situation, both horrible, but yes. You have one person, which it empowers. They say, you know, it empowers them. The other one plays a victim. And obviously we know the one that goes through life really, really at a great, you know, empowered, you know, fulfilled. And the other mm-hmm. one's always going to be in that victim mode. Same horrible situation. It's how right. you react to it.
And I've dealt with so many people who've been like sexually abused, right? Childhood or adult life, right? And like nobody should touch anybody, right? That's not about that. And look, and I'm not saying, oh, something happening today, tomorrow, flip the switch, I'm great. No, we're human beings with emotions, right? But we cannot allow ourselves to be a victim to anybody else or to any other circumstances in our life, regardless of the reason why. Right? Because again, it strips us away of our ability, our power to make the right choices. Because any decision, you know this, any decision you make in fear is always the wrong choice. Any decision, even if we get the result that we want. I always say this, Mr. and Mrs. Smith have a $10,000 tax bill due by Friday. They got $7,500 right now. They have no money, no credit cards, no friends. Mr. Jones says, honey, I got an idea. They get in the car, they drive to the casino. What's the worst thing that can happen? Well, most people say they lose it all. No. If they lose it all, it would be the wrong choice at the wrong time, and they would never make that stupid mistake again. But what if they won? What if they did the right thing at the wrong time? I mean, they did the wrong thing at the right time. They just got lucky. Now, next time, now they're covered. Now, next time they have an issue, guess where they're going to go? Yeah. They weren't gamblers, but heck, it worked before, honey. Get in the car, right? So it's all about maintain. Like even sometimes when we do the wrong thing and we get the right result, it creates a shortcut in our brain that limits us in the future. That's why we cannot allow ourselves. There's four things that we can control: what we think, say, feel, and do. They are our most precious commodities. We got to protect them. And also be responsible and use them instead of waiting. Hope is not a strategy. Everyone loves to hope and wait. Wait for this. Wait for this. Hope ain't a strategy. Hope is waiting on a bus corner on Sunday afternoon for a bus that doesn't come on Sundays.
Absolutely. And it's like, and that's what people have to understand. And folks, in the description of this interview, you're going to see the two links to his website, Get Life Coaching, is also the free consultation that Joe is literally willing to give to you to get on the phone and talk to you, or a video conference or whatever that may be, for a free consult to see if he can help you out. Because here's what coaching does. I have been coached by many, many great people. Joe was one of the people who took me underneath his wing and even coached me in the past. And a lot of times people have all these goals and their dreams. They don't understand that they're getting into their vehicle and that is full of frost on the windshield. You can't see. And you don't know why you can't see. And sometimes what people can do, and people like Joe can just go out there and they scrape the windshield for you or turn on the frost and allow you to start to see clear. Maybe not initially, but eventually it's all going to clear up and you're going to finally see that vision of what you're supposed to be doing, your destiny and everything else. And so that's why I think if you're struggling in life right now, if you're finding yourself just in a hole of mediocrity and you can't find yourself out and you seem like you did it a million times, hey, just have a phone call with Joe. Just get him on the phone, talk to him, and you never know. Like I said, I've sent many, many people to Joe and to his organization, and every single person, I even saw some of your clients comment on some of the videos I've been posting. The best. Joe helped me out so much. And it's great. And one thing I love about Joe is there are some people that still coach with Joe. They're going to be coaching with Joe from here on out. But Joe's going to get you to coach yourself. He's there to get you on a path. Don't feel like you're going to have to, I'm going to have to be with this guy for the rest of my life. If you choose that, that's great. But sometimes everybody just needs a little kick in the ass. They need that somebody to hold them accountable, to point them in the right direction, and then he releases you. And that's one of the strategies that I love about Joe. He's there to help you. So pick up that phone and just give him a call.
My ultimate goal is really to get my clients to the place where they don't need me. See, therapy relies on dependency, right? I don't want my clients to be dependent on me. I want them to be independent from me. But to do that, we got to learn how to think maybe a little bit different. how to access some different resources. Because again, no one showed this to us. I didn't learn this in school. I had to go through a drug addiction. You didn't learn it in school. Yeah, we pick up here and there, but usually it's like after when life begins and we're hitting walls, we go, oh my God, I got to work on this in my area. I got to work on this part of my life. And how to get out of the weeds, because we all get caught in the weeds. And once we get caught in the weeds, we really lose our optics. And I think one of the most important things in life is not avoiding all the weeds of life, because it sounds great, but not really practical. But learning, what do you do when you hit a bump? What do you do when you start headed to the weeds? What do you do when you're caught in the weeds? Because the real sin, Garrett, isn't getting caught in the weeds, because we all get there. The real sin is getting caught and not knowing what to do. It's like a quarterback, right? Patrick Mahomes, he can throw an interception. He can fumble, right? He can do something, right? That's bad. But what he does next is what makes Patrick Mahomes so great. He just comes back and just wins and wins and wins. He doesn't let that mistake define him. Right. And that's really what these tools do. So we can coach ourselves, and then we can share these skills with our children, with the people that we love, because if we can't help those we love by what we go through, then it falls more on the self side than the other side.
And I like how you put that with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I just saw something that he tweeted out, I think to his wife a couple months ago. He's like, I think we're going to go win the Super Bowl this year. You know, that's where he's built in his own mindset, is that blind respect with himself. Like,
yeah,
when I say something, I'm going to follow through and I'm going to do it, and I don't care what happens. And if I fail seven times, I'm going to get up eight and I'm going to continue and I'm going to wear you down and I will win. And it's not being cocky. It's just that blind respect that he's hardwired himself through probably trials and trials of tribulations and mistakes, everything else. And just like you said, every single year they do what? They add more coaches.
Yes.
They add more experts just to find that bigger edge. And how many people go through life and they never even pick up a self-help book, or they don't even give a phone call to a coach or anyone else to even talk to. And they just blindly go through life and they wonder why they're not getting ahead or they're not fulfilling that void within them. And they do it with self-destructive behavior, like we talked about, with drugs, with addiction, with pornography, with overspending, overworking out, overeating. It goes on and on. And so
we don't make what we want. We say it, but we don't back it up. We don't make what we want non-negotiable, right? It's non-negotiable until it becomes negotiable. When the pain, the difficulties, right? Not everything in life is non-negotiable, right? Like, but like me providing protection, love, and care for my 10-year-old daughter, non-negotiable, right? Me, right? Staying sober, staying clean, making sure that my head is on the right way is non-negotiable. My summit that I strive for, that my, you know, is non-negotiable. But that's the big thing. We were committed until we're not. We bail out too easy. So for Patrick Mahomes to make that big ass statement, right? He believed it. Strapped into a polygraph, he would have passed because it was non-negotiable. Does he win every year? Almost, but not every year. But you know what? Sometimes you're going to be freaking wrong. But look, I rather believe there's always a way. If you're in the weeds, if you feel like you're drowning, I rather believe there's always a way to get out of that and occasionally be wrong. Sometimes the scoreboard says one thing and the clock is zero, right? It happens, right? But I'd rather be wrong once in a while than think I can't do this. Life sucks. I'm no good. I'm a worthless piece of crap, and be right almost all the time. I'll take the hit because the wins are going to outweigh the losses.
Absolutely. Like you mentioned journaling on the last couple of weeks too. Like when you journal, and do you journal every day, Joe?
Just about, yeah. I do a couple of different journals. One of the things I do is I write my goals, my top beliefs, my top values, and three things I'm grateful for every morning. So I did that before we started this, right? And then I journal a couple of different ways. People get caught up in journaling, like, I don't know how to journal. There's no way to journal and not to journal. It is getting stuff inside of you out. Now, when I journal, I do it really two ways. One, I just do free form. I just journal. I just capture my day, right? And I don't use negative language. I'm no good. I'm worthless, right? I don't want to build that habit. I want to break that habit, right? But then sometimes I use journaling and really becomes like a screenplay, believe it or not, where it's almost like two different dialogues. I'm actually talking to myself as I'm typing because I need to kind of process that. So I have a conversation in my head with a keyboard. So I'm looking for an answer. Like, why am I always stuck here? I'm digging. I'm like an archaeologist. I'm looking for that remnant, right? That's what I'm digging for. Other times I'm just capturing.
Wow. That's pretty powerful, especially, I mean, that's ritual that what you're doing. Like every single day, you're putting that good stuff into your mind nonstop. You know, forgiveness, you know, that's a big thing. There's a lot of people that not only need to ask for forgiveness, but also to accept it, right? Like to forgive other people. What is your strategy with people who've had, you know, bad things happen into their life? And I firmly believe that nothing bad happens to us. It's just a part that makes you to who you are and how you react to it. But how do you help people like with that forgiveness aspect, no matter what the act that's happened to them or the wrong, how do they get over that?
I mean, in my 25 years of coaching, there's pretty much nothing that I haven't heard. You know what I mean? Like the depths of how people will sink for other, to hurt or for their own personal gains, right? I'm a little bit different on forgiveness, okay? I look at forgiveness for really what it is. Forgiveness is not about the other person. It's about ourselves. We carry it. It's like if I'm driving down the street and someone cuts me off, right? Right. And I'm in road rage. I'm screaming. I'm giving the finger. Yeah. That idiot is driving like they have never had a bad day in their freaking life. But I'm the guy behind them losing control. I feel stupid when I do that. I got better choices than that. Right. Yeah. So I think when it comes to us and how we feel and what we do, I think forgiving other people for because we need the release. See, just because I forgive someone means I'm no longer holding it. I'm putting that bag down. Okay. I'm not exonerating that person. I am not necessarily letting it go for them. I'm letting it go for me. Right now, if your spiritual principle says for them too, sure, but not everyone's going to fall in that category. Yeah, some people we need to. In 12 steps, we talk about we make direct amends, except when to do so would harm ourselves or others. Right? We don't need to go through the rack here and go and for, face that person, Nah. We forgive to free ourselves. That's why we do it. And if you want to extend it for that person's benefit too, you may, but we don't have to. We hold on to it. Forgiveness is more about us and for others, especially when there's things done that we can't just forget. But we can move on and grow and learn and become stronger, like you were saying.
That's great on how you just put that. Like you don't need to have the other person involved all the time.
No,
I mean that's pretty powerful because people think like they have to.
Gotta confront them. You don't have to confront anybody. I mean, if it's right for you, by all means. But no, forgiveness in it mechanically just means I'm just not holding on. And the greatest emotion of all emotions, if you look mechanically, because every emotion like love, forgiveness can have a scarcity and an abundant version of it, right? I love you unconditionally. That's abundance. Scarcity, if you don't love me, you know, if you leave me, you won't love me. I'm no good. See, that's scarcity. And we always have both these versions available to us. So every emotion, every positive emotion has an abundant and scarcity counterpart. The only one that doesn't is gratitude. See, gratitude is the only emotion that causes us to focus on what we have. That's why gratitude, Gary, is the most powerful of all emotions to shift us. Because we are in gratitude, okay? Now, we could be brainstorming about something. We're not in gratitude. It's not a bad state. So anytime you feel lost, you feel scattered. Yeah, it's not always it. What are you grateful for? I'm grateful for freaking nothing, right? I get that. But gratitude always will ground you because it causes you to focus on what you have, where depression is constant focus on what you don't have. That makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Would you say like probably the worst negative emotion, I mean, would that be guilt? Ooh. What do you think is the worst one?
Well, I think the guilt shame is huge, right? Because it is so much on there. I also think depression's huge too, right? Right. And because there's so much societal weight that's attached to it, right? And so much we've learned. We had, come on, I was talking to one of my clients and their kid came home from school saying, "Mom, I'm depressed." 8 years old. That kid's not depressed because we start speaking it. You know, what we speak becomes our reality. If we start saying, I'm depressed, we're going to act more depressed, right? So I think the biggest black hole is depression, right? Because we don't see it. I think the one that affects most people on a, they don't realize is anxiety, because I think most people angst is like 7, 8. And most people think it's like 2, 3. We've been living in such high angst for so long. Level 8 feels freaking normal, right? I think that's the, and then, yeah, the other one, I think that fits there.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at society right now, we covered this last week, is people are at a whole different level of problems right now. I mean, they truly are. And in the pandemic and everything that we went through with the lockdowns, yep, and the polarization on both sides of political parties, I mean, it's just got everybody where, like you said, 8 is now normal, where 8 would be very severe. And I think people are all just like at that level now. And that's unhealthy. Like,
and what happens is when you have no stress in your life, you have to create it because it feels abnormal not to have stress. You know what I'm saying? Wow. And you understand biochemically,
yes,
that's 100% accurate too, without boring everybody. But yeah, right. So oh my God, I feel calm today. So we don't feel normal. So then all of a sudden, subconsciously sabotage, whatever, we start creating more stress in our life. Oh, I feel really good. Let me turn on the freaking news. I feel really good today. Let me go on X. I don't care what affiliation. Go on X long enough, you'll be pissed off in less than minutes.
Yes. Wow. I never even thought about that, but you're exactly right. That's people's, I mean, when people say the new normal, but the new normal is that high stress, that anxiety kind of state. And when they finally get that breath above water, they go back to it because that's what's normal. Joe, I never even thought about that.
And they're riding like a 7, 8, 10 high, 1 low. So it doesn't take much to go from a 7 to an 8 to a 9 to a 10. See, if you're at that normal baseline where it's 1, 2, 3, you got a lot of ceiling. You can make a lot of adjustments. When you're at like an 8, 9, you don't have a lot of adjustments to make. You either got a bail on it or it's getting higher. And most people don't realize it, so it gets higher and gets higher. We have an addiction to anxiety. We really do.
Yeah, try to be a successful husband, wife, father, mother, human being at that level. It's impossible.
Yeah.
You will just be a grumpy, upset, angry person all the time. And who wants to be around that, right? That's not conducive with what you're trying to do in life. Man, I never even thought about that. Because that just kind of summed up the last 4 years.
Yeah, because anxiety, if you look at it mechanically, is based in certainty. Okay? Because again, it's not what we feel, but the need of certainty. Because we have so much that we can't control. So anxiety is trying to control what we can't control. That's what stress is by definition. Trying to control what you can't control. You elevate that even more, we'll get into the angst range, anxiety range. So what happens is when we get that deep into it, we start trying to control anything and everything, and especially other people, places, things, opinions, all that stuff. And the more we try to control the uncontrollable, the more stress we get. So it becomes this vicious loop that we're in, right? Oh, I just got to do this. But the more we try, the more stress that we get. So it actually creates even more stress by having stress so high and not checked.
So three things that people can do right now to lower that anxiety, to start the process of getting from that eight and going down to where they should be below that five. What are three kind of strategies that people need to do right now besides call you, right? What are the three that people can do at home for the ones that are watching? They're like, holy cow, this guy's speaking my language right now. He's hitting the nail on the head. He's totally right. And they're like, I want to make a change.
Yeah, yeah. So I think the first thing is you got to learn how to ground yourself. This isn't going to change the world, but always, anytime you're in scarcity, your first move has to be into neutral, has to be into ground yourself. So we do this breathing. You've done it, the breathing in your heart. You can go to Get Life Coaching. You can download it for free. It's called In Your Heart. It's a meditation. You don't have to be a meditator to get it and to do it. It's based in science. Just Google heartmath.com. They created that whole kind of connection, mind-body connection. We studied it, right? But I think that's the first thing. And we need to regularly ground ourselves. Whatever it is, it could be working out. For me, I love being in nature. Hiking with my daughter, or this, or being outside. I have to ground myself. As much as I'm a go, go, go type of person, I gotta put time in my schedule when I don't need it. Because if I don't put time in my schedule when I don't need it, I'll never do it when I do need it, right? Yeah. It's like insurance. Number two, we gotta get good at the indicators. See, if you understand, emotions are never flat. They're either increasing or decreasing. They're increasing in intensity or decreasing in intensity. So we got to get better at our indicators. How do we know when we're at 2, 3, 4? Most of the time, people don't recognize it until it's like an 8, 9, 10. Right? You're yelling at someone. You're depressed. You're eating like shit. Right? Now it's like, oh my God. And how hard is it to pull out of that at 8, 9, 10. Yeah. No, if you get a bunch of naked girls around me with cocaine, I would love to say, I'm going to be good. But long day, I don't know. I don't want to test that fact. Yeah. If I just avoid that situation, I'll never have to make a bad choice in my life, right? So by God, know the indicators, right? And I mean the physiological, guys. I mean, like, what you feel in your body, thoughts in your head, because the sooner you're able to catch it, the easier it is to bail out of it. And we got to create strategies to bail out of it when we feel that angst is too high. I mean, it could be like, hey, Garrett, I got to go, right? Can we finish this conversation later, right? I mean, because we have to get ourselves out of that situation. And it might sound odd, but it's not odd. It really comes from when I teach negotiation and sales. Because if we have a done deal and on the signing, Gary goes, this is a great deal. I'm so excited. Oh, before we sign, I want to make a few changes. Well, if you're going to make too many changes, that's going to put me on my heels. I don't think well strategically in those situations, right? I either want the deal too much or I'm pissed off, not good state. So it's okay. All I do there, I go, Garrett, before I sign, I'm just going to take 24 hours and review these, right? Right? No problem. These are more changes than I expected. Let's reconvene tomorrow. Because I know I can bail out of that situation, right? Because in that moment, I'm not my best, right? So you got to have a strategy. It's not so much how do we have to avoid it altogether. We have to realize when we're headed towards it, how do we pull out of it? And the sooner, it's always easier to kill the monster when it's just a baby monster instead of waiting until it's like the size of Godzilla and it takes the entire city.
Absolutely. Wow. That's powerful. And I love just the pause. People, if they could just take that breath before they react, before you say something, before you text, before you email, before you do something wrong, just take that moment, take that pause, and then keep your head clear, and then react.
Because if you're typing and you're talking to yourself, oh my God, da, 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 nothing's good going to come out of that. Even if your message is good, The way it's going to be delivered by you or how the other person is going to hear it isn't going to achieve an outcome you really, really, really want. It's just going to make things worse. We got to be smarter. We got to be more strategic in our approach. Not robots, but we got to understand how our brains and bodies work and learn how to work within that instead of just like, okay, I'm going to be better. And we're not better because we haven't done anything better. We don't know how to do better.
Awesome. Joe, my goodness gracious. Thank you so much again for your time. Again, folks, his website is in the description, getlifecoaching.com. He's also doing a free consult for anyone that wants to sign up. That link is in the description. Brother, you know I love you. Thank you so much for sharing all of your wisdom, your time, and everything else with the Grassroots Army.
Oh, thank you for having me. You are a true friend, a true brother. I love you, Garrett. Thank you.
I love you too, bro. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. Awesome. My goodness gracious. Again, folks, go to his website, check him out. If you feel inside that you're ready for a change, like there's something inside you, you kind of hit a wall, you feel like you're in a hole, you're just not in the relationship that you were destined to be in. You know, you want to change in there. You want to change as a father, as a mother, as a human being, just do the free consult. What's the worst thing that can happen? You will get something out of it. I guarantee you. At least you took the action. And that's why I want to challenge everyone that's watching. Just do the consult. Hit the link. Have a conversation with Joe. And let's see where that leads to. Because again, I've sent many, many people. I've even went to Joe myself. And every single person, including myself, has always come out of the situation and his coaching and his guidance a better person. He is a phenomenal human being. Has a wonderful story. Has a huge heart. Loves humanity. And that's the type of people that you want to surround yourself with. That is for sure. So until next time, God bless you. God bless the state of Michigan. Of course, and always, God bless these United States. Bye now.